Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things says the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Verse 18. Unto the church of Thyatira write, These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. To this church the Lord appears with his most complete title, the Almighty God's Son. The focus of the believers is turned to the person of the Son and his supreme authority and power to guide and correct us. We are admonished to consider his perfect sight of our service to him and his understanding of our needs. By their daily walk in the Spirit of God's Son, the Christians in Thyatira were not like brass in fire. They are like fine brass. They are representing gold almost as much as the Apostle John suffering for Christ's testimony. Yet not that much. Some of the genuine disciples in this church needed more awareness of our Master's Lordship. Our Lord deserves our loyalty with fearless bravery. We must beware of magnifying His grace and mercy by reducing His full authority. No portion of His grace may be wasted on tolerating sin and encouraging slackness. Faithful stewards are obliged to be alert and to keep on the light of His truth. As our Master's return is nearing, our zeal and watchfulness should increase. Verse 19, I know thy works, charity, service, faith, thy patience, and thy growing zeal in thy work. Considering such a testimony our Lord is pronouncing for Thyatira, I see the faithful family of Lydia in Acts 16:14 as Christ's fellowship condiment. These believers are laborers in the gospel. They labor in charity. They are fervent in the teaching and practice of God's word. they not only keep the faith, they are growing in the faith and knowledge of God's Son, Jesus Christ. In their faith, they exercise patience. Their life is not gliding effortlessly, but they know the purpose and the value of serving the Heavenly Master and Lord. They see some hypocrites, some false prophets among them, but they wait. Perhaps the Lord is going to move their mind away from falsehood. Hopefully they will repent and follow the Lord. Time is passing, the evil is growing, Satan is gaining power, and the victims of devil's entrapments are growing in numbers. Can charity and confronting heresy be practiced at the same time? Must we compromise the gospel for the sake of personal or social kindness and respect? In Matthew 10:37 and 38, a genuine disciple can love nothing more than his Lord. Verses 20 and 21. These things I have against thee. Thou suffer that woman Jezebel, which named herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. She will not repent. Speaking the truth in love requires wisdom and power only the Lord can give us. Here the faithful and loving Christians are rebuked for the activity of some false brethren in their fellowship. Our Lord Jesus is our perfect example in all and in everything. He is gentle and merciful to the needy and penitent. Luke 7:13-47. He was strongly against some customary evil doing. John 2:15. Obvious violation of God's word must be confronted respectfully, kindly, and without compromise. Considering so much allegory and symbolism in this book, and all the virtues ascribed to this church, I think perhaps the teaching of this Jezebel was not crude, ordinary fornication and idolatry. It could have been ego exaltation. At times, Christless piety and influence of numerous vain, hidden religions were practiced by infiltrators among true disciples. Lacking real conversion of the heart, these false paths often include both physical and spiritual impurity, corruption of the flesh, corruption of the spirit. Something very common for much of counterfeit religion are great but false promises of miracles and rewards, claims of performed miracles and wealth accumulated. Without repentance and forsaking sinful, godless ways and deeds. In 1 Corinthians 5:4, 5, and 11, the way of helping a heretic within the fellowship was a swift and decisive confrontation. Proper action without delay. If that did not save that sinner, at least it could have protected the fellowship from filth. Verses 22 and 23. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Her children I will kill. All the churches shall know. I search all hearts and reward all as they work. Sometimes the Lord would not protect believers from natural consequences of sin, but would allow some suffering to help them see God's displeasure with their evil deeds. immorality is destruction of the mind, heart, soul, and body. In some cases, the gain sinners expected turned into material or physical ruins. Satan deceived many, but was never able to give lasting happiness to any. He is the arch deceiver and self-deceived, adversary of the mankind and of angels. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only complete and perfect victor over this awful monster named the devil. Satan can enslave and tyrannize only his victims that trust in sin and deception. We trust and obey God's Son, and we are delivered. Christ is the truth. Before our Savior, the liar, with all his lies, must fall. Jesus is the light that gives us light and destroys the darkness. He is life that gives us life. By his death, he destroyed our death. In Christ, we are safe and secured. Here is an example of stubborn, gross abuse of God's patience. God gave them time for repentance. They used that time to continue in sin and also to misguide into godlessness and destruction other confused, shallow believers. All this rebellion was continuing under a label of a special gift of prophecy. Apparently, there were active disciples of that movement. If blind lead a blind, they both fall into a ditch. Matthew 15:14. Followers share the leader's fate. The Lord says that the, quote, prophetess, unquote, was given time to repent, but she repented not. She will be punished by some suffering. Her followers will have a time of great tribulation if they repent not. How should we understand this? If we sin deliberately after we received the gospel knowledge, we deserve condemnation. If we repent, the Lord will forgive us our transgressions. Our Lord has authority to give us time for repentance when we deserve judgment. The Lord is not telling us to enjoy sin. He is not promising endless time for repentance. The Word, God's Word, is admonishing us to haste out of sin and to cleave to our Lord in faithfulness. Living in sin till our end here heralds the second death. How is it possible for the true believers not to be aware of this abominable activity in their midst? If they were aware of that moment, how can they tolerate so much sin? 2 Corinthians 11:14-15 points to a glazed, glossy sin cover. The development of evil in the fellowship did not leave the faithful ministers blameless. The Lord rebuked them in the verse number 20. It is not easy to figure out the best measure of patience and zeal for the truth of our Lord's gospel. We owe to our Lord, to our fellow believers, and to our own souls the diligence necessary for exposing Satan in all the places of our private and fellowship life. Sincere confession of our struggles and godly concern for others is necessary. The Lord promised to give us all according to our works. If we live in Christ, He is our eternal reward. If we live in sin, we are under condemnation with Satan. It is a wonderful expectation to receive reward for all His, Lord's, goodness in our life. As great as our hope of seeing our King in glory is, the total delight of His loving care is so abundant that His presence is with us every step of the way. Satan will lie to make us feel alone or forsaken. But we know our faithful Lord. It is an awful horror to face the condemnation that awaits the evil spirits. But without Christ, our Lord and Savior, only that horror is left for sinners. In Christ, the measureless wealth and splendor of heaven is ours to adore Him now and in eternity. Verses 24 and 25. I say unto you, and to the rest in Thyatira, that have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, that which ye have already hold fast till I come. This is a clear indication of our Lord's knowledge of and involvement in our daily walk, our burdens and our joy. Some hardship can be very heavy for a time, and the purpose of our suffering invisible. But our Lord knows all of it. His ways are mysterious ways, and He makes no mistake in arranging all things to work for good to them that love Him. Romans 8:28. We need to be alert to resist satanic doctrines, worldly, Gentile, foolish reasoning and ignorance. We must be wise not to desire even to look into the depth of Satan. His depth is the depth of death, the bottomless pit of endless and measureless suffering. Our Father's treasure is unsearchable, worthy to be cherished and longed for. The burdens we received from the Lord to bear with His power working in us might seem to hasten our body to the grave. But our Lord is with us, and no time or effort is wasted. No man on earth is as blessed as Christ's redeemed disciples. We are admonished to hold fast all our Master has given to our stewardship, rejecting all enticement of Satan and his slaves, and all compromises. The Lord is going to appear in glory and matchless majesty at the time appointed by the Father. He also visited His flock with many blessings and often unexpected. Acts 12. Our God many times visited stubborn sinners with calamities. Calamities they refused to believe could ever happen until it was too late for them to escape disasters. Verses 26 through 28. To the overcoming faithful keeper of my works, I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be broken to shivers like clay vessels, as my Father gave to me. I give him the morning star. Christ's victory was so obvious in Stephen's heart and testimony. He kept his Lord's work to the end, to the portals of heaven, Acts 7:56. In his testimony, the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel was stronger than a rod of iron. In the name of Christ, Stephen ruled over his own nation. Saul of Tarsus got broken into shivers, Acts 9. And God made a chosen vessel for a testimony only His Spirit can in a man's life. and Christ's gospel echoed sound and clear. Three men in the fiery furnace, Daniel 3, ruled over the king and his empire. The king got broken in part at that time. Eventually, he did break into shivers in the chapter 4 and glorified God who has the rod, the scepter of both justice and mercy. How can a man overcome in anything without the power the Father gives in his Son to the redeemed? He is Alpha and Omega. I see here his promise of eternal glory, but also his assurance to us of his river of grace, grace everlasting. Christ is our day star, 2 Peter 1:19, given to us since the foundation of the world to redeem us for now and for eternity. His chosen bride he holds dear. In the chapter 22:16, he is our morning star, beaming with his Father's glory. Verse 29, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God has created men with ears to hear, and they do. When Adam sinned, he died, and so did his original hearing. Then he heard only a judge, not his loving God. The voice of God's Son in John 5:25 gave life to us dead. Now we should shun the tumult of worldly lusts, lest our hearing become dull and we cannot hear our loving shepherd's calling. Jeremiah 6:10 and Acts 7:51. We belong to Christ entirely.